Hi, and welcome to episode 25 of the Ireland Library Podcast, a very special Christmas edition.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 indeed. I'm feeling super festive. I'm Laura from Laura Liz Buckley.
And I'm Jo from Pages of the Moon.
We're at the end of season one.
I know, and it's Christmas, and we have a really fun episode for you today.
You can't tell, but we're both looking super Christmassy. Jo has actual bells in her hair.
Yeah, I have bells because I just always like to be heard.
And I'm like a little Christmas pudding. I've got. We might upload some pictures so that you can enjoy our Christmassy vibes.
Yes. So, if you're a regular listener, you'll be thinking, well, what book must they have read? Well, you will be shocked to learn we did not read anything.
I mean, I have been reading. We just haven't read anything for the podcast.
Yeah, I have been reading for pleasure. Although I would say that reading for the podcast is also pleasure, but I mean pleasure without having to, like...
Wild concept, right? Reading without having to think about what we're going to say about it.
Yeah, like reading it and thinking, oh, I don't like this, but I don't have to try and find a way to sell it. And then also saying, I really like this book and I don't want to seem like I'm an overzealous fan.
Yeah, being able to read something and just love it and not have to pick holes in it for a review podcast. Just lots of fun.
Or ponder the seashell rating for a really long time. Because I'm like, well, it's not as good as this one, but it's better than this book. And I'm thinking that might change in season two. I might have got it down by season two, I'm thinking. But anyway, just before we get into all the Christmas vibes of this episode, I thought it'd be really fun to just recap what books will be going with us from season one into season two. So for anyone who is new, please go back and listen to all the episodes, or listen to this list and then pick the episodes you want to hear why we've chosen that to go to the Ireland Library. But in the interim between season one and season two, you will still get monthly uploads from the book club, where me and Laura will sort of condense the discussion from the book club meeting and sort of give more of our thoughts and answer some of the questions from the members. But we also do have the chance to take those books with us to the Ireland Library.
Yeah, so don't go thinking that you can just listen to this and then disregard everything between now and season two. Things might change, all right?
Yeah, things might change.
Don't get too comfy.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise the crabs will get you. I need to find another animal because crabs is...
Starfish.
Well, the seashell.
Turtles.
We could introduce some turtles for season two. So, in typical Jo fashion, I forgot to write down the author, so I'm just going to have to say the names of the books. But then you'll have to go back and listen to like find out who the author is anyway, so there you go. In 5 years, What If It's Us, The Vanishing Half, The Truly Devious Series, up until book three, because book four should be out next year, The Black Kids, Meet Cute, Opposite of Always, Mexican Gothic, Beach Read, and A Very Large Expanse of Sea. So I filled my 10 slots.
I think that's good, you know. I think it's good to have a full roster because that ups the stakes now.
Yeah, massively. I'm not going to show anybody this. I've only shown this Laura because she's my co-host. But I sent her a picture of me colour coordinating which ones. I was like, I'm in love with these still. I'm a little bit iffy about these ones now. So like, I know which ones I can throw into the ocean next season.
So my list, I've been a bit more harsh with my choices, or maybe the books I've read for the podcast have not been as exciting to me, but I have 8 slots filled of my 10, and they are Frankly in Love, Pride, Clap When You Land, Surrender Your Sons, A Song of Wraiths and Ruin, Early Departures, The Book of Two Ways, and Tales from the Cafe Before the Coffee Gets Cold.
So, just because we didn't have a book to discuss this week, just to give you a general rundown of how the rest of this podcast is going to go, I've got 5 questions. Laura's got some of her own that we're going to ask about either the season or any books that we've read recently, etc., etc. And then we've actually bought each other a Christmas present each that we're going to open, and I'll get more into that and who has managed to provide that, because I'm so thankful and it's so special that when I contacted this company on Etsy. They were so happy that they were going to be on this podcast. But I will say, we paid for it. There's no partnership. There's no affiliation. We just fully paid for it and just appreciate this. Then we'll do an extra special Christmas Joe's Random Question of the Week. And then to end things, a bit of a this or that. So the first question I wanted to ask you is that you've read a lot of books this year. Mm. And if you could add a book to your shelf you've not read on the podcast, what book would it be?
So firstly, that's really close to the question that I wanted to ask you. So damn. So I do have an answer because I've been thinking about it. Just the other day, I read My Sister the Serial Killer by Oyinkan Braithwaite, which was amazing. And I was reading it thinking, I kind of wish that I'd read this for the podcast just because it would be so exciting to talk about. And it would 100% have made it onto the shelf. But obviously, rules of rules.
Yeah,
I can't have it, but it's so good. It's kind of brutally funny and dark and slightly weird, but fascinating. Absolutely loved it.
Oh, to also answer it back, because I know that you've got a similar question. I remember this was probably when we first started the podcast and back when I could read two books a week and still function as a human being. I remember right at the end of one of the podcasts, I talked about this book and I said, gosh, I wish I'd read this book for the podcast instead. But I'd read it and I'd already said, I think the previous episode, this is the book I'm going to read. So I kind of, and it was Dolly Alderton's Everything I Know About Love. It's sort of a memoir. She has released her own fiction book this year, but I hadn't really read that book until, I want to say it was about June this year. It was when we were pre-recording before the podcast actually launched. And I remember saying to you, oh my God, this book is amazing. Like, it's so funny, but it's so honest. And at times it's really sad. And it was just like a book I literally couldn't put down. And I know that if I'd read that for one of the episodes, it definitely would be on the shelf. Mm. Like, even now, sometimes I still think about that book. So it's one of those that really stay with you.
Sure.
So, I like this question. In Tales from the Cafe, people who visited either wanted closure or to spend an afternoon with someone they missed. What would it be like, in your opinion, if the characters from Clap When You Land visited it?
Oh, that's such a good question. Because, okay, brief recap for people who either haven't listened to that episode. Why haven't you? Go listen to it. It's amazing. And or don't remember Clap When You Land. So in Clap When You Land, you've got, the book is told from two perspectives, two girls who have the same father but don't know that until a while into the book and don't know about each other. And the very first thing that happens in the book is that the father's on his way to visit one of his daughters and his plane crashes. So that would be absolutely fascinating. Oh man, so because it's so interesting in that book, because there's no way for them to talk to him, they kind of have to move past the enormous betrayal of him having hidden them from each other and having this whole double life. And they have to deal with the enormously complicated situation that they're in and move forwards.
And I just say, I literally watched Laura listen to my question and her eyes widened as she started to process where my question was going. And it was literally like the most satisfying feeling. I'm starting to understand now why people interview other people and like get so much joy from it. Because when I thought of that question, I was like, that is such a solid question. And I've thought of my own book it could apply to as well, so I can answer it back. But I literally watched her eyes go, oh my God, what a question. And it's just like filled me with so much Christmas festive joy. Christmas made.
Okay, so I think it would have been disappointing in the sense that we wouldn't have had as much, because already I feel like I wanted to see Yahara and Kamino's relationship develop even more than it did. And obviously it would have taken away from that. But because it's a book that's so focused on kind of the relationships between the women in the novel and the way that they learn to support each other or don't fully support each other, and are kind of trying to look out for themselves and sometimes take advantage of each other, whether they mean to or not, it would have kind of complicated that, because there would have been this male target for them to be like, what have you done? What were you playing at? So it would have really changed the dynamic in an interesting way. And I think it could have been interesting to have that kind of conflict be able to play out and really let them process the anger of it, because that's what I think is missing. They don't get to be angry at their dad because they're grieving him at the same time as they're discovering his betrayal. So it would have been really interesting to see how that anger might have played out if we'd had a Tales from the Cafe type scenario where they could have gone back and spoken to him.
I just still just like just love how your eyes are still glittering around that question. It's like
a favorite. It was a brilliant question.
It was. I know. So the same question, but for me it was in 5 years. So this is a slight spoiler warning because I think I did give a bit too much away even when I discussed the book. But if you're wanting to read in 5 years, I'm going to give myself 2 minutes to explain. So just come back in 2 minutes' time. So in the book, the main character is suspicious that she's going to end up with her best friend's boyfriend because she had a dream and she landed in the she went into the future and she's engaged him. She's living in this apartment. But the big twist in the end is that it was all set up that the event, the dream, wasn't what it was. So I won't say that, I won't spoil that, but the best friend passes away. And in her grief, she does something that I think would be really interesting for her to go to the cafe and process that. And basically, I don't think she needs forgiveness in a sense. I don't think that would ever hold her back for the rest of her life, but I feel like that would be something interesting and for her to finally tell her friend why she was so hesitant towards her boyfriend for such a long time was because of this dream and she was so worried about it happening that I think it really impacted their friendship at several points in the book. But obviously she knows how crazy it would seem if she like said, this is what I think is going to happen to me in so many years' time because I've had this dream, and her friend would be like, you're crazy. Whereas now that, you know, that situation's happened, I feel like she can process it and she can actually share with her friend what's happened. Mm. So I feel like that would be a really interesting dynamic within the cafe for her to sit there and just think, oh, okay, this is me now saying to you, this is why I was such a dodgy friend for such a long time. Mm-hmm. But on top of that as well, like, I think because she'd lost her friend to, unfortunately, cancer, it would be a nice way for her to deal with that and grieve properly.
Sure.
I did well. That was actually 2 minutes. I timed myself.
Very tidy.
Very tidy. So I ask this question a lot when we do the book club. So I wanted to go back to one of the books and I went back through your list and I thought of which ones would be really interesting that you picked to go to the island that could be made into a film. So I picked Pride, and I wanted to know, in Pride, who would you think would play the lead if it was made into a movie? I'm pulling out some questions.
Okay, give me a sec.
I probably should have given you this list beforehand, but then I feel like you wouldn't have been as shocked when I...
So the main character in Pride is Zuri Benitez. She's a teenager, so we need a youngish actress. So, right, I'd probably want a combination of Yara Shahidi and Camila Mendes.
That's a good show. Yeah.
You want somebody who's got a lot of attitude.
Yeah.
For Zuri, she's the lead in Pride, as you might anticipate. She's a pretty proud character. She's got a lot of self-confidence and poise. And yeah, I think either of them could pull it off. Zuri has an Afro-Latino heritage.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'd be looking for somebody that can honour that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is hard because I know that you don't watch a lot of television. So
I'm really not familiar with younger actors at the moment because I watch very little, and most of what I watch is old.
Yeah.
So all the actors who were playing teenagers like 10 years ago, I can name them.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't be the right age to play Zuri now.
So I picked Mexican Gothic because that was one of the most recent ones that I read, and I was really fascinated to see what it'd be like in a film version. And she might be on the cusp of being a bit too old, but she can play younger characters, but it's Isa Gonzalez. I also have the biggest crush on her anyway. She makes my bi heart flutter.
Uh-huh.
But she's also Mexican, so I felt like ethnically that matched. And also the character is very privileged and very pretty, and I feel like naturally she's fits all of that, and I feel like when she's dressed in the right clothes, because the character in Mexican Gothic is very fancy.
The wardrobe's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, the wardrobe is like huge for her. I feel like she could really, really sell that. So yeah. So I've got two slightly easier questions for you now.
Okay, well, shall I ask a couple of mine?
Yes.
First?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So if you look back at kind of what you've read this year, not just for the podcast, but kind of particularly for the podcast, is there anything that you want to read more or less of in 2021?
I think I would really like to read more adult books over young adult. That's not saying I don't love young adult, but I do think I'd lent more towards young adult more so at the beginning, and then at the end I came back and I read more adult books. And I feel like because I'm at that cusp of age now where I can still appreciate young adult, but I relate more to adult characters or characters of the same age as myself, that I'm finding that I'm more appreciative and more understanding of character choices. Whereas I'm starting to judge 17-year-olds a little bit. I'm like wanting to shake them, but I do like that as well. In terms of the actual like genres, you know, I'm a massive fan of romance, but the ones that have really shook me and altered me have been the ones that haven't been romance predominant. So your thrillers. I think I'd really like to read a crime book, but the thing with crime is that if it's too predictable, then the book gets ruined for me quite early on, and then the ending doesn't feel that satisfying. Mm-hmm. There's only been like two books I've read in the last 2 years that haven't done that, and one of them was by Fran Dorricot, and it's After the Eclipse. So I would like to read more crime, but it's got to be a really special book. What about yourself?
So some of the books that kind of really, that really piqued my interest are the kind of the ones that aren't so easily defined in terms of their genre. And I'd love to read more of that stuff that kind of is a little bit speculative fiction, a little bit of a mix of stuff, a little bit weird and out there. Yeah, where it's got a little bit of multiple genres going on. I know you mentioned when you read Mexican Gothic that it kind of felt like part thriller, part horror, part family drama. Like, it had a lot of different things to it, which is part of what made it so interesting. And I think that is what I'm really looking for. I'm looking for more of that. Hard to pin down. Feels like there's lots to it. I actually think the book club read that you've just highlighted for January is a good example of the kind of slightly more out there book that I'm really excited to read more of next year.
Yeah, like the books that don't tend to fit in a particular box, obviously it's got to have an overarching genre for it to fit on a shelf somewhere, but the book that we picked for the book club read for January is Leave the World Behind by Rumon Alam. I'll put the information in the show notes so you can go back and have a look at the synopsis so you can sort of see what we mean. But I think it'll be really interesting for us to tackle books that don't just fit into a genre just for the topics of discussion, because I think sometimes when a book is so fitting into a genre, we tend to mark it against the genre criteria we already know and love, that when it breaks those boundaries, we tend to think it's failed when actually it's pushing those boundaries. It'll be more fascinating for discussions as well, I think. Make it easier for me to find things to talk about without having to spoil the book. Although I have got better as the season's gone on.
You've made massive, massive strides. If we had to give awards out, if it was awards season on the Island Library, then award for most improved at not spoiling books would 100% go to Joe. Because you've come from being like, yeah, I don't know, I'm just going to have to talk about everything, to not doing that.
Yeah, I'm very clever now. I'm very clever. Compared to when I started, like a newborn who couldn't shut up. It's like, oh my God, there's books are amazing.
Okay, so another question that I have is probably better suited to a bit later on. So if you want to do...
Okay. So my last two are about the podcast too, so it probably ties in quite nicely. So the first one I want to ask is, what have you learned from doing this podcast, either about yourself or in general?
I mean, on a practical level, I feel like I've learned a lot about editing and kind of the technical side of things. Obviously, we had a pretty steep learning curve at first. We went from like recording on Skype and just having this joint audio file to both recording separately, and that is so much easier to manage. So I
also got a microphone, so that made it easier.
Yeah. So I feel like I kind of picked up some new skills in that sense, which hopefully I will continue to develop.
Yeah, 100%.
In terms of, I feel like I realized how critical I am about books when I actually tried to start putting it into words. So I knew, well, I didn't think of myself as a particularly picky reader, because I will read and basically enjoy anything, but when I actually have to talk about it, I suddenly realise that I can be really harsh. And there were definitely points during recording for certain episodes where I had to, like, edit out chunks where I thought, that's just too mean. I just sound like a cow. I don't want to be that mean.
I don't think you've ever been mean, but I do know what you mean. I think, for myself, the biggest thing that I've learned from physically doing the podcast is how challenging social media can be.
Mm.
That was sort of the side that I took on, because I already felt quite comfortable with that. The difference being an actual business and doing it that way, and navigating finances and Patreon as well, has all been like a huge task, actually, that I'm really happy that I've actually managed to get sorted by the end of the year. And I just thought, oh, it would be something I can just do along the side. And actually, it does take me about 3 or 4 admin hours a week just to keep on top of everything and make sure that everything gets paid when it's meant to get paid. Which I think at the beginning, the same for you, is like a steep learning curve. And then on a personal note, it's probably that I love a book the moment I finished it, but I don't actually love it upon reflection. Mm-hmm. And it's learning that I can't finish a book on the same day as the podcast anymore, because I need that time to process. Otherwise, I end up going, oh my God, I've loved this book. And I mean, I don't regret any of the choices that are on the Island Libraries. There are obviously books that I love more so than other books, but that would be the case for anybody who's trying to put 10 of their best read books that year on a shelf.
Sure.
But I do think on some of the earlier discussions, when I probably wasn't as aware of that, I talked books up, and then on reflection, I've had to go back and downgrade them, like on my Goodreads and stuff, because I was really generous there. So it's realizing that I need to take that time to be critical, because I do enjoy everything that I read. And then I'm not actually fair to the book, because I would say, oh my God, it's amazing, when actually it had a lot of plot holes. Which, a good example of that is the episode where the last book club read, when I read The Shadows Between Us, like instantly when I read it, I thought I really enjoyed it. And then when I reflected on it, I actually realised that there was a lot of things that actually bugged me about the book, even though if I enjoyed the story. So it's learning that, I think, was really huge for me. And I think it really helped develop my conversations with you during the episodes. More so, I'm more proud of the latter half of the season than the first half, before that reason.
Mm.
So obviously, we're changing the dynamic slightly for season 2. We're bringing in themed weeks, as well as the book club sessions, which we didn't used to have until the latter part of the end of this season. But what are you hoping for season 2?
Obviously, I'm hoping that the kind of community of listeners and book club participants continues to grow, because it's been really exciting watching more people get involved with all sides of it, from just tuning in each week to joining us in the book club. And then I guess I'm also hoping, this sounds really vague and wishy-washy, but I hope that we continue to kind of grow as like podcast hosts, that we continue to feel more proud of the new stuff we're putting out, and that we continue to feel like we're getting deeper in our conversations about the books. Because like you, I feel like I'm more proud of the second half of this season than the first half. And I hope that halfway through season 2, we're like, oh yeah, this was so much better than the second half of season 1. And that the end of season 2 is like, oh, this is so much better. That is what I want, for us to continue to look back and be like, we've grown so much.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. We've touched on previously that I wrote in fanfiction. And even though some of my earliest pieces are the worst, I try to leave them up there because it shows growth. So I am really proud of how I've developed as a person over the podcast. So it's nice to see that. And as like a co-host to yourself and co-business owner, I feel like I have my shh down now. The biggest thing I'm hoping for season two is that we have some absolute corker of some books next year. Mm. Not saying that this year hasn't been amazing. It has been, but I know that the cheeky Penny D has affected a lot of books and publishing houses. So I'm hoping that the book world and the publishing world and indie authors, etc., 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 can all bounce back from this pandemic, because it's been especially hard. Because unless you really know the publishing world and how hard it is, you don't realize that the book that's come out this year has actually been in development since 2018, maybe even 2017. So I just worry, and I just hope that nothing's going to affect the 2021 releases because of this year.
Sure.
So I'm just hoping for season two that that doesn't happen, just as a selfish thing, because I want to talk about the books here, but also just as a lover of books. But yeah, that's the big thing, I hope.
So the last question that I had is kind of just, right now, looking at your shelf, if you had to pick a favourite, what would it be?
Okay, this is difficult, but only because there's the book that has literally stuck with me, which I feel like gets the overall season one award. But I also have a book that shocked me, that took me by surprise. So I'm going to, if it's okay, going to give two awards out.
All right, I'll allow it.
So the overarching 2020 book of the year on Joe's shelf has got to be In 5 Years, because I don't think I've ever had a reaction to a book and felt like I constantly want to recommend it to people, like I have done that book. And I know it's the first book on my shelf, but I actually almost thought that maybe that would be the book that would alter the most because of that. But it hasn't, and I still love it. And I'm still, when I reorganize my bookshelf, like my physical actual bookshelf, not the island one, and I put them all in rainbow order, I still want to make sure that that book is like front and center, because it's still one of my most favorite reads, because it was from a complete whim. So I think that would win my season one award for favorite. But the book that surprised me the most was going to be Mexican Gothic.
Okay.
Just because I've never read a book like that, and I was completely blown away by it, and I was like sucked into it. And even some of the faults of the book, like, you know, it sort of teeter off at the end, it's still really forgivable because of how I felt as I was reading it. So that's why. But what about yourself?
So I'm going to give two as well.
Keeping it fair. Yeah.
Of the books that I'm looking at on my shelf right now, I think the one that is objectively best, as close to objective as I can be, obviously I'm not claiming any, but like in terms of what, as I was reading it, the one that I think was the best written, the one that I thought had the best character arcs and all that, I'm gonna give it to Clap When You Land. That book blew me away, and I have been passionately recommending it to people who sometimes are a bit, because it's written in verse rather than prose, and sometimes people can feel a bit turned off by that, so I have been trying very hard to make clear that it only enhances it, and it doesn't make it feel like you're reading quote unquote poetry. It feels like you're reading a story.
Yeah.
And so I think that book was technically brilliant. It really hit me emotionally. I just thought it was fantastic. The book that left me the giddiest, though, was A Song of Wraiths and Ruin.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if that book was not up there, that was the book with the glittery eyes.
I just remember coming to the end of that and trying to come up with the seashell rating and thinking, I was thinking, like, I can't give it five, can I? I mean, realistically, it's not, like, I don't think it deserves five. But then when I asked you and you were like, you have literally not stopped grinning. I was like, it's gonna have five shells. It's gonna. Because I just, I think it was the best written book I've read this year? No. But
can I just say, she's grinning now? She's grinning now.
I closed that book and I was just like, I loved that.
Yeah.
And that feeling didn't go away. I finished it, I think, a few days before we talked about it. And I was still like, loved it. I just loved it.
I think as well, we should also give that book another award for the fact it was the fastest bought book from the podcast. Because I literally finished that recording and bought the book and it arrived the next day, just from how giddy you were. So it wins that award as well.
Congratulations, Song of Rights and Ruin.
Congratulations.
You made me very happy.
You did make her very, very happy. So, we've now come to a really exciting part of the podcast. Just for background information about why we are so excited for this, I sent these to our houses about 2 weeks ago.
It's been sat on my shelf, taunting me.
Yeah, and we've not opened them. So, I was scrolling the lovely gram, and I found B-Books in Manchester. I will link down below in the show notes. But the most amazing thing about this store on Etsy is not only are they UK and they're Manchester, it's a lovely owner called Chloe who resells secondhand books, but she does it in a special way in the fact that you don't know what book you're buying. So on her shop, you can pick a book genre and it's like wrapped, and when it arrives, you don't know which book you're getting. So I said to Laura, which genre would you like? She picked a genre, and then I picked a genre, and we ordered those books, and we have not opened them. And I messaged Chloe and I said, look, I'm really excited with this. I was telling her all about it, and I think she might also be listening because now she listens to the podcast, which is also amazing. And hello, Chloe, and we love you. And I'm just so excited. But so I will put the information in the show notes below, but I'm so excited because this is such a brilliant gift idea for book lovers, because it's so special in the fact that it's secondhand book giving, which I think is amazing, but then also it's the uniqueness of the fact that you don't know what you're buying, so you can send it to somebody, and it's just so special. So
it's very exciting.
I have mine here. I don't know what it is, but I did open the top just to make it easier.
I'm going to get a little bit of a ASMR present unwrapping.
Oh, you take it out. Oh. Okay, so just for everybody to know what it looks like, it comes with a little bee thing on it, which is really, really cute. And then it comes in like paper bag wrapping paper, like brown wrapping paper with bees on it, which is
all
also
recyclable,
really, really
cool. I'm sure.
All recyclable. So... oh, I don't know what this is. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Undo it. Oh!
Ooh!
What did you get?
Okay, I got Becoming Jo by Sophie McKenzie, a modern retelling of Little Women.
That is amazing. So I got Queen Bee, Every Neighbourhood Has One, by Jane Fallon, from the author of Faking Friends.
I feel like I've heard of Jane Fallon.
I feel like I have as well. The synopsis for it is here that Laura, seeking peace and privacy after a marriage falls apart, rents a tiny studio. Unfortunately, her arrival upsets suspicious seller who fears Laura has designs on her own fiancé, Al. When Laura stumbles on her big secret Al is hiding, suddenly Stella's perfectly controlled world and Laura's future are threatened. Taking a chance on beating Al at his own twisted game, the two former strangers are fast becoming friends.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it gives me Little Fires Everywhere vibes.
Hmm.
Which is really exciting. What's the synopsis for yours?
I mean, it just says, Meg, Jo, Beth and Amy, four sisters whose stories are forever imprinted in our hearts. But what if their story was told now?
Ooh. Well, this is going to be exciting.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Also, we've also got a tea bag. And a little candy cane in here.
Yes, I got chamomile, vanilla and manuka honey.
Same. So I can curl up with a cup of tea and a book, which I love.
Yay!
Happy Christmas from the island!
Happy Christmas! But yeah, thank you so much, Chloe. That's so lovely. Stay tuned for season two because someone might win one. Who knows? A lovely listener. You've heard it here first, and now you've got to keep listening because you don't know when the prize is going to go up. So the island might be giving you something. So the part that you've all been waiting for desperately, like you do every single week, mm-hmm. is Joe's random question of the week. Ho, ho, ho.
Christmas themed.
Christmas themed. Right, because it's Christmas, you get two presents to unwrap this time. So we've got a couple of would you rather Christmas questions and then a this or that. First difficult question to answer. Would you rather have to wrap 100 presents with the elves or load 100 presents into Santa's sleigh?
I'd rather do the wrapping. I feel like wrapping can be more meditative rather than heavy lifting. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to load presents because me and wrapping do not get on. I get sellotape stuck everywhere. I get paper cuts from wrapping paper. I personally sent Laura some Christmas presents, and I ended up having to use masking tape because I couldn't find the sellotape. And I was also like, well, I'm less likely to get hurt this way, so I'm going to use masking tape. I mean, it all gets ripped off in the end. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. But would you rather swim in a pool of eggnog or a pool of warm cocoa? I was going to say cacao. But it's definitely cocoa.
Warm cocoa, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna
go warm. Want the eggy. I don't want eggnog in my hair.
No.
I don't mind smelling like chocolate for a while, but I don't want to smell like eggnog for days.
That's very true. Would you rather have hair and a beard like Santa or be totally bald?
I'll go bald, because I feel like it'd be a lot more fun to play with different wigs than it would be to deal with having Santa's beard.
I'm going to go for the beard.
Mm.
Just so I could tickle my own face.
It would keep you very warm.
It would keep you very warm. I won't have to wear a mask, I don't think. I'll just grow the hair down. Would you rather eat a pound of raw potatoes or a pound of raw green beans? Which aren't really raw, like... It's not like if I said raw chicken, that's different, isn't it? But potatoes are just potatoes and green beans are just green beans.
Yeah, I would go with green beans because I feel like eating raw potato is really bad for you, but maybe I'm making that up.
Isn't just raw potato just potato?
Yeah, but like it's, whereas green beans you can eat raw and it's like you can eat without cooking them and it's totally fine. But if you eat potato before cooking it too much, it's not good. I'm going to Google this. I'm going to double check.
Okay. I mean, I'm still going to go for the green beans, so I don't feel like it's going to be a huge issue, just because I feel like a lot of potato is quite stodgy, and I feel like I get really, really bloated, and I don't need that in my life. Like, any more than I already have to face on a day-to-day basis of just being gluten intolerant to everything.
Okay, so, according to the very, I'm sure, legit source, myrecipes.com, raw potatoes are not necessarily inherently toxic.
Brilliant.
But because they're quite bitter and starchy and mealy, beautiful description, loving their work, they're likely to clash with your digestive system and have the potential to cause more serious health issues. So it's like, because the carbohydrates in them are pretty indigestible because they're very long chain. This is me extrapolating from what they're saying. So not great for you. Whereas green beans, they might not be very interesting uncooked, but they will not probably be a problem.
That's fine. I feel like green beans is a safe answer.
Yeah.
Would you rather be covered in Christmas lights or in Christmas tinsel?
Christmas lights! I love Christmas lights.
Yeah, I'm going to go for lights as well because I have a Christmas jumper that's got tinsel embedded into it and it is the itchiest thing I've ever known life. Yeah, it's really itchy. And even if you wear a top underneath and you get really hot, because it's a jumper, so it's not the best.
Lose.
And then finally, would you rather be the height of an elf or the height of an abominable snow? Oh God, abominable snowman, monster, snow monster. Because you know,
sure.
I don't want to genderize. Abominable snow person, monster.
Can you say abominable one more time? Because I'm loving it.
It's the only word I really struggled to say. Abominable.
Oh,
abominable snow monster. For this, I'm going to be the height of it, and I'm hoping you're going to be the elf, and I'm going to sit on you.
I'm going to be the elf.
There you go. I'm going to sit on you for.
That's fine. I deserve it. It's totally fine. But yes, I would be the height of an elf. I despite the fact that I'm technically pretty much bang on average height, maybe I'm a couple of inches under technical average height for a woman in the UK. Like my brother always jokes that I'm super short, and my husband also jokes that I'm small, but these people are like 6 foot, so of course they think I'm small. But I'm just like, I'm 5 foot 4.5 inches. Like, this is not desperately short, but it's become a running joke.
To be fair, you're clinging to that inch, aren't you, as well? So I'm 5'6".
Nah, that's a solid height.
Yeah. So this is the this or that, and this one is by She the Spy. It says, are you more summer or winter? I thought it'd be interesting because it's winter. Would you rather be poolside or at an ice rink?
Poolside.
Ice rink. I like being cold. Sun or cloud?
Sun.
It depends, okay? I'm going to get really technical here.
If the sun's out... right, here we go.
If the sun's out and it's just, like, warm, then I'm fine. But if the sun's out and it's that horrible UK heat wave, then I'm going to go for cloud because it's as if the humidity isn't bad enough without the sun, like, scolding you as you walk to work.
Okay.
Overheated or freezing?
I'd rather be too warm than too cold.
Really? I'm going to freeze.
I just get so sad when I'm cold. It's really pathetic.
But I'm the same when I get too hot.
Yeah.
I get really mardy and I get scared that I'm going to faint.
That's fair.
Disney, Moana or Frozen?
Moana, make way, make way.
I'm going to go Frozen. Just for fair. That. Just for that. Because Let It Go. And the Snowman.
Yeah, I mean, there are some strong songs in Frozen, don't get me wrong. I love both movies.
Yeah. Strappy heels or cute boots?
Cute boots, 100%.
Yeah, cute
sod
boots.
Heels.
Warm yellow or cool sky blue?
Ooh, cool sky blue for me.
Warm yellow.
Ah.
Shock.
I love how we're basically opposites. Even on the ones where, like, it's obviously swapped from the summer to the winter, we still choose the opposite ones to each other.
Parent Trap or Anastasia?
Oh.
I'm going to go Anastasia because I binged that film as a child. Like, I watched that. So, I mean, I loved The Parent Trap, but it just made me so lonely that I didn't have a sibling for so long.
Aww.
Or that my sibling was 7 years younger than me and that, you know, I couldn't parent trap my kid. Not, like, I would want to parent trap my parents, but do you know what I mean? Like, we couldn't as kids.
There, no sibling hijinks for you.
No, there was no hijinks. And then when he got old enough to do hijinks, then I was too old to want to do them, so... So, Anastasia.
I did really like Anastasia, but I don't remember it well enough to have it win over Parent Trap, which I'm pretty sure I've seen a couple of times, or at least it's stuck in my mind more. So, not because I feel particularly strongly about Parent Trap, just because I remember it better, I'm going to go with Parent Trap.
Eat out or order in?
Oh, I mean, at the moment, everything's order in, so I kind of want to eat out. But in the normal run of things, I would rather be lazy and order in. Like,
yeah, I'm ordering.
Go out for a meal.
I feel like then I don't have to be disappointed when someone brings me food that I don't want because I didn't have to talk to somebody and then them get my order wrong.
I don't know, that said, there are downsides to ordering in. Like, the food isn't always hot enough when it gets to you. Maybe I'll go with... Well, I mean, I think I went with it anyway. But yeah, I feel I'm going to go more firmly with eating out.
Young love or first love? Which I could argue could be the same thing.
There's some overlap there.
First real love, as in, like, marriage, I'm going to go with that. Because I had some awful taste in people when I was younger. Calling you all out with your listeners.
I was really lucky in my relationships. I didn't have a lot of relationships, but the couple of serious relationships that I had that were very lovely. I'm going to go with... I'll go with first love. I think there's something sweet about whether it's the first time you're experiencing a kind of deeper kind of love or your first experience of love at all. I think firsts are really interesting.
Yeah. So, to no surprise, you're more summer and I am more winter.
Shocker!
Shock. And that is the end of That, This or That, which also brings us to a bit of a close for the episode, which is now sad.
Yeah. How? Wow. This has been an amazing few months.
Yeah. I mean, it's been about... For us, I think it's been about 7 months, but I think posting and being live in people's lives, I think it's been 5 months. And we've never missed an episode.
Yeah.
We've achieved so much for saying this was just a small brainwave that we both had. And now we have, like, lovely supporters and a book club and a growing community. I think we have so much to be proud of from season one. And it's all obviously down to everybody who's listening, but also it's hugely in part to us, and I think all those hours we've given up, especially in the early days.
Yeah,
I'm really, really proud of us. I'm really proud of season one. And I know it's going to, season two is going to be so much better.
For sure.
But I'm really, really proud of what we've achieved.
Considering 2020 has been a rough year in many ways, I am so glad that this podcast has come out of it.
Yeah, me too. It's been really lovely. It's been... I know people always say, and you always read about the hero stories, don't you? That people are, I turned my passion into my business. And you're like, yeah, all right. As if you did, Karen. But we actually did. And yeah. I'm actually starting to believe that those things can happen.
I'm so grateful to you, because without you, this would not have happened at all. Like, even, I still vaguely remember the message that I got from you where you were like, this might be a crazy idea, and you can tell me if it is, but what would you think about starting a podcast? And I was like, does she mean with me, or is she going to start one and she wants an opinion on it? And I was like, together? Because I was like, surely she wouldn't want to start a podcast with little old me. But that was indeed what you had in mind. And
because you were like the most supportive person when I tried to do YouTube, and I was like in bits because I just couldn't keep doing it. And I felt like I'd only uploaded like a handful of videos, and I just was like, it's so lonely, I can't do it. And then I was like, she didn't really say anything about doing it with me, so maybe I'll just ask if she wants to do a podcast with me instead.
And here we are. And
here we are.
And here you are, all of our listeners as well. We are so excited to have you along on the island, listening and sharing your own thoughts. Whether you're joining us in the book club or not, we are so, so grateful to have you here.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'll rush on to the social media plugs, because as you said, social media is tough. So
it is so tough.
Give us a follow. So you can find us on Instagram. We are the Island Library Podcast over there. And then you can also find us on Twitter, where we are the Island Lib Pod. And you can also check out our website, theislandlibrary.com, where you can subscribe. You can get updates from us there in terms of new books that we're going to be doing on the book club. You can join our book club through our Patreon, a link to which you can find on our website.
And in the show notes.
And in the show notes. You can also email us if you have any ideas for books that you want us to review in season two, or themes that you want us to look at in season two. We've got loads of ideas that we're playing around with already, but we're still finalising a lot of it. So please shoot us any ideas, any books that you read and loved in 2020 that you'd like to see us review on the podcast in 2021. We would be thrilled to have your suggestions. We will be uploading less regularly for the next couple of months. It will just be the book club episodes coming up. But you can eagerly await our return in early 2021 with season two, which is going to be even better, I'm gonna say, than season one, which was already great. Let's not get it mixed up.
It was already fantastic. It was already fantastic, and so does the dog. Agree. Also, stay tuned for a special crossover episode with Riverdale High AV Club that will be coming soon, where we sat down with the podcast hosts, where we discussed the books that we read, but we also just ended up having a general natter, which is really, really exciting, and that should be coming soon.
That episode was so much fun to record.
So much fun.
I'm looking forward to you guys hearing it.
Again, just thank you so much for supporting us during season one. Season two, as Laura said, is going to come back stronger, bigger, and better than ever.
Following us on social media will make sure that you are first in line for the new download when season two kicks off. So we will be keeping you guys updated there for more specific timelines.
Exactly. Thank you all so, so much. And thank you to you, Laura, for doing this crazy idea with me.
Thanks, Joe.
See you soon.
See you all soon. Happy Christmas.
And New Year.
And a fantastic New Year. I hope 2021 kicks off beautifully for all of you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. My brother used to want to be, he used to say he wanted to be 7 feet tall when he grew up. And we were like, no, you don't. That would be horrendous. And he was like, no, I really do. I want to be 7 foot. He was really insistent about it.
It'd be really good when you go to like concerts or stuff, like in your standing, and just see over people's heads. Although, and the iPhones now.
Wouldn't you also feel really awkward because everyone behind you would be so annoyed?
You just sit on them.
I feel like this is your strategy for everything. This is why you want to be the height of an abominable snow monster.
Yeah.
Because you just want to squash your enemies.
And I'd be dead fluffy, so I wouldn't be, like, terrible. I'd keep you warm.
Works for me.